And I am delighted to say that on the phone we have Tony Duffin, director of the Analiffy Drug Project. Tony, good morning and welcome to Northside Today.
Thank you, Danny. Thank you. It's lovely to be on the show. Thank you.
You are more than welcome, and I'm delighted. And long overdue, indeed. I had you on my... You were on my hit list, Tony, and I was on my way to get you. Tony, first of all, I suppose, for those people who are not familiar with, and maybe I suppose I should maybe preface my statement by saying, for those people who are lucky enough not to be familiar with the Analiffy Drug Project, can you just tell us briefly about it, please?
Sure. We were established in 1982 by Father Frank Brady and his colleague Mara De Lacy in the north inner city of Dublin to respond to the emerged heroin epidemic of the day. So we've been around for over three decades working at the front line with people who are actively engaged in their drug use. We reach out to people, I suppose, Tony, is probably the nicest way to put it. People either come into us, into our drop-in in Dublin City Centre, or we go out into the streets and engage with people. And the fundamental purpose of all that engagement is to build a relationship with people so that when people are ready for change, that we're there for them, that the relationship is built and we can encourage them and help them and refer them on, or indeed do any work we can do for them. We also are also working in Midwest of Ireland now, in Limerick, where there is similar problems, and we were lucky enough around 5 years ago to be asked to come and work down there. So it's the kind of work that's it's hard work, but people do appreciate the kind of work that we do. It's very satisfying in terms of working with the people who are having difficulty with drugs. As you and your listeners will know, we have a significant problem with drugs in Ireland and particularly in Dublin. We have very difficult circumstances around homelessness, ranging from single homeless people through to families and children. We do work with families and homeless families and their children. Our main focus, I suppose, is working with adults who take drugs. Some of those people have children, and we support them to be the best parents they can possibly be, you know, in the circumstances they find themselves in. And we make sure that those children are as safe as possible too. So I guess, you know, it's really enjoyable work, but it's really challenging.
I can well imagine, Tony, and maybe just before we go on to talk about something that I find shocking, which is a statistic that 7 people are dying of overdoses each week in Ireland. Before we go on to that, Tony, I opened up the interview there with U2's Running to a Standstill. Can you just tell us the significance of that, Tony? Because I know it's important to the people in the Analiffy Drug Project.
Well, we chose... in the last couple of weeks, we've been working with a group of master's students in DCU who are studying social media and democracy. And they came along, they're very skilled people, a group of 6 people who were able to donate their time to us and help us to raise awareness of our work, particularly our work on the issue of, we've been lobbying for supervised injection facilities since January of 2012, and I'm sure we'll talk about supervised injecting in a moment.
We certainly will.
One of their ideas from the students was to pick a song that resonated with people around the issue. And having looked around, we chose, or I should say they chose, Running to Stand Still by U2, which is about heroin addiction during the 80s. And that resonates with us as well, because obviously, as I said, we started out our work in 1982. And I think the song was written in 1987. And the band obviously are talking about the the devastation that, that heroin use has on people and has on relationships, and, you know, ultimately, you know, the ultimate harm that, that heroin use can do, which is overdose and death and things. So we were choosing a song that might draw attention to the plight that we're still going through, I guess. It's fair to say that that the drug problem in Dublin and in Ireland has, and in the and across the globe, has only worsened.
I was going to actually ask you that, Tony, because no more than myself, you are young enough to remember the explosion of heroin in the 80s, the late 70s, and the early 80s, and all the. The associated problems that that brought with it for communities, as in losing practically some communities, losing an entire generation of its people, and we've also, of course, seen the fallout from crime. But just as an aside to that, Tony, is the situation today, is it as bad as the 80s, or is it actually worse?
Well, I think that you can say it's worse. It's you know, what we have, heroin is still a problem, but now we have a wider range of drugs that, that people use. So we have a problem with what we refer to as a polydrug use problem. We have people who take multiple substances, prescribed drugs, illicit drugs, heroin, cocaine, high-strength cannabis. Some of these, you'll remember the head shops from around the 2009, they were closed down, but those drugs are still available online and from dealers, and people can get access to them. So there's a whole raft of drugs there that, that weren't around in the 80s, or certainly weren't being sold and misused in the 80s. So we do have, it is worse from looking back over those years. And it's spread out. It's tentacles across Ireland. So, as I said to you before, we're working in Limerick, for example, and certainly at the moment we're working in the Midlands too. And so we know that really every village, every town, across every city, across Ireland, has a drugs. People can get drugs, and there are drug problems throughout the nation, really. So so we're kind of all collectively, people who work in this field, every member of the community is really faced with this on a daily basis. If you walk into Dublin City Centre, most people will tell you that they notice the effects of our problematic drug use in Ireland. So there are people injecting in public. They go, every alleyway in Dublin, I think, would be used at some point during the week for somebody to go down and inject. That's a phenomenal thing to say when you think about it. We think there's around 400 individuals in any given month that would inject multiple times in Dublin City Centre. So, you know, we know we have a significant problem here.
Tony, I referred earlier this morning when I was on with Debbie, and before I continue with the interview with Tony Duffin from the Anna Liffey Project, I would like to thank Debbie before Lifeline. She did a great programme at short notice this morning. She was literally 5 minutes before she went on air, she was told she was doing it. So well done, Debbie. But I came in to preview Northside today, and the thing that jumps out at me, Tony, and we will talk about different aspects of it, including the injection centres. There are 7 people a week, dying from overdoses in Ireland. Now, by virtue of the fact of the work I do and the job I do here at Near FM, most of which is based around current affairs, we would be getting stuff in on a regular basis here. A lot of us would be, you know, we'd be dealing in facts and figures, statistics, stuff like that. And you know as well as I do, Tony, what is involved in current affairs and the programming around it. Your press release is the first time I had seen that 7 people a week are dying of overdose. Mm. That's number one. And number two, why is that not out there as a headline, attention-grabbing speech for more discussion in relation to this?
Well, we're always saying, it's actually interesting because they're always saying that one person a day, like the equivalent of one person a day, dies of overdose in Ireland, you know, each year. So there's So that's the way we often describe it. So when we were looking at this, we said, well, let's try and explain it another way. And so another way is to say, you know, there's seven people, like there's 7 days in a week, so there's seven people, the equivalent of seven people dying in Ireland every week. And I think you've just picked up on the idea that that's shocking. It's astounding. I was with a colleague yesterday over in the Dáil. There was a health committee meeting looking at the issue of legislating for safer injection facilities, and Dr. Jerry Bury, who's a professor in emergency care, was explaining, you know, that more people die of overdose than people die on the road in road accidents in Ireland. You know, we have more people dying of overdose here than that. And I mean, that took people back as well. I've heard that before, but I think that sometimes, I suppose you just got to keep saying it, Danny. You've got to keep telling people. You've got to keep getting the message out there that we have a very, very serious problem. And that's why, you know, when I get the opportunity to come and speak to yourself, it's really important to come and say it. You know, that we can do better. I don't think, you know, we'd all love to say that we'd like to solve the situation that nobody is going to die of an overdose. We can't say that because, unfortunately, we have such a serious drug problem. But we can do better. We can reduce that number down. We've got to save every life we can. You know, you can imagine the devastation. You talked there about the statistics. They're all very interesting. But the human consequences of an overdose... Obviously, if somebody has children and they die, those children have lost a parent. Everybody who passes away has parents, has immediate family that are going to be devastated by their loss, even after, you know, they've had a very difficult life with drug misuse. People, you know, hope that person will stop using, will turn their life around, will become stable or drug-free. But when they die, then there's nothing more, you know.
Tony, we have an interview coming up at noon today, just after noon, with Senator Lynn Ruane, and I presume you are familiar with Lynn's story, because... You know, she was on a path, let's be honest, where she could have finished up as one of these statistics very easily, but she was one who stopped and turned her life around, and really, you know, she's an inspirational figure. But, Tony, I know that you need the help of, and you need the backing of, politicians in relation to this, because, you know, without policy and without funding, you really are pushing a rope up a hill. But
sure.
I have seen, number one, I've seen governments established where there was no Minister for Drugs, which I found impossible. It just showed me where the problem of drugs was in relation to their priorities. But I have seen ministers for drugs, and I don't wish to point the finger at anybody, Tony, and I don't wish to be flippant about it, but it would appear from what I have seen that I have seen certain ministers for drugs, or if you want to describe them as such, and they used the misery that you're dealing with on a daily basis for basically a photo opportunity, and they cried wolf and said how terrible this is and we must do and this has to be, and all the usual platitudes that are thrown out there, and yet nothing was done.
I think, look, I've lived and worked in, I'm from London originally, Tony, and London Irish background, and I've lived and worked in Dublin for 16 years and 11 years at the Analyse, and, you know, I've worked with every, whenever there was a Minister for Drugs, and there is, Catherine Byrne is our Minister at the moment, and I've worked with them all over those 11 years and before that in other jobs. But I guess, you know, it is one of those areas that is very tough to really, you know, it's not something that can be solved. And, you know, when from a political terms, that can be very difficult. You know, it can be a very difficult portfolio to take over. And so I think that, you know, politicians, I like to believe, go in and do their best and try their best to have an impact. But this is something that's going to take long-term planning. So So a long-term vision with definite actions that we take now that build up towards reducing, drug consumption in Ireland, reducing overdose deaths in Ireland. We don't want to see more young people taking drugs in the future, obviously. We want to reduce that, the early onset of drug use. We want to stop people dying, and we want people to be as safe as possible. And, of course, where possible, we want to see people who are using drugs to stabilise and move on to abstinence and recover, because it can be done, as you rightly mentioned. So it's a tough job to impact change over a short time. Do you see what I mean, Tony?
I do, Tony, but I mean one thing, and I'm cognizant of the fact that you've given up a huge chunk of your time this morning, and I appreciate that you are very busy. But I mean one thing that has been discussed ad nauseum at this stage and is in gestation for longer than anybody who would have a genuine interest in resolving some of the issues. It has been in gestation for long enough now to have been brought to fruition, and that is the issue of supervised injection facilities in Dublin. Are we any nearer that, Tony? Yes. Because I would imagine that even that might go a long way towards saving some lives.
Yeah. Look, I've been my role at the Analiffy Drug Project for the last 5 years, running the service with my colleagues. The day-to-day running. My other part of my role, one of the jobs I've been doing, is championing the idea of supervised injection facilities. That we had such a very difficult problem with public injecting in Dublin that we needed to get people somewhere safe to go. So that work started in earnest in January of 2012. And yesterday I was in a pre-legislative scrutiny in the Dáil, where people are looking at the legislation that's about to be published, the heads of bill of the legislation that is about to be published. I'm really happy to say that there was a lot of support from the Gardaí, from health professionals, the TDs, the senators that were there. There was overwhelming support to move forward to legislate, because the reason you just can't open one up, Tony, is because it's illegal. Okay, it would be illegal to allow somebody on the premises to be in possession of drugs knowingly. Okay, so we have to. So we went down a path in the last 5 years. It was the long path in terms of trying to get this open, but it was the right path in terms of doing it the correct way. I think that they will. The government will publish legislation in January, and then it will start its process through the Dáil and through the Seanad, hopefully with as much support as I saw yesterday, and as such, we'll pass as quickly as possible, and then we'll be in a situation where it's about getting it operational, finding out where the service will be, who's going to be providing it, etc., etc. It does take time. It takes time because it will be the first permissive and progressive legislation passed in Ireland in terms of, since the Misuse of Drugs Act was established in 1977.
Tony, has this been trialled, Tony, in other countries? And if so, what was the result?
Yeah, okay. So what I find interesting is that there are 88 official drug consumption rooms in Europe. I'll just give you a quick list of them, if you just bear with me. Switzerland has 12. The Netherlands has 31 of them. Germany has 24. Spain has 12. Norway has 1. Luxembourg has 1. Denmark has 5. And France has 2. And I listed them out because it gives the sense that this is quite normal. Okay, this is not something that is sort of not well thought through. This is quite a normal thing. And then there are services in Australia, and there are services in Canada and elsewhere. So... So it's not some sort of it's not even radical anymore. It is if you have a drug injecting problem in the public domain, one of the things you should do is open up somewhere safe for people to go, because actually what happens is you get them through to treatment and rehabilitation faster than otherwise. So if we're leaving people down alleyways, hiding away, there's not an opportunity to get them through, to keep them safe in their own injecting practice at the moment, but also to keep that relationship. That's what I started out with earlier, Danny, the idea of keeping the relationship alive and moving people forward to treatment and rehabilitation and housing and anything else that they might need. So the evidence is very, very clear that, you know, they work.
And Tony, is there any hope, Tony, that for once we might actually get ahead of the curve in relation to this? And you're saying that the legislation in relation to it is about to commence its progress through the Houses of the Oireachtas. Yeah. But is there any hope that we might actually get ahead of the curve and have people ready to go to occupy this centre? And have we a shortlist of premises that would be suitable, good to go as soon as the legislation is signed into law?
Yeah, good question, Tony. I think the good thing is that the government in the budget just gone in October, government announced that they had set aside money to assist with the establishment of the supervised injection facility. The big question for everybody is, where is it going to be? Because for many people, actually, I don't know about many people, but for some people, this issue of NIMBYism, not in my backyard, is going to come up. The truth is it needs to be in the city centre. That is where we have, there are hotspots across the city centre where people are injecting more so than anywhere else. It's something that is the guards constantly clamp down on, and it moves around, but it moves around the city centre. So for our part, we would say that you only open up these services where you have a problem with public injecting. That's what they're for. You don't put them somewhere away from everywhere else, expecting people to travel to it, or indeed bringing a problem into an area problem. So, you know, there is not a list. The Analiffy has been clear that we would like to provide it. Merchants Quay have said that they would like to provide it. We know that there's going to be one pilot site initially, and then soon after, hopefully, all being well, that the pilot is as effective as it has been elsewhere, there will be further licences given out to appropriate bodies so that people can provide them. Some of my colleagues in the homeless sector who run hostels and house people with intravenous drug problems, and where people do actually get found dead, unfortunately, they would like to be able to apply for a licence and have an injecting room inside the whichever hostel it may be, so that people don't have to leave the premises, can be looked after better.
Tony, so
we don't know exactly where it's going to be, I suppose, Tony, is the short answer yet. But I think, you know, there's some ideas out there.
Tony Duffin, Director of the Analiffy Drug Project. Tony, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks,
Tony. And I hope that we don't have to talk again, because I would like to think that somewhere along the line there might be a bit of joined-up thinking with all the relevant bodies, and maybe proper action might be taken for once and for all. But I have a feeling, Tony, that we will talk again. All I can do is thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
And how fitting it is that we will finish off this interview with the second part of Running to Stand Still from U2. Tony, thank you so much.
Thank you.